given you my heart and all that is within. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams. I'm laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life.
I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconferenced prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by the Foundation for Prayerful Living and Open to All. We are delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. The topic of today's healing message is pride. The negative definition of pride in Roget's thesaurus includes boast, pomp, stiff-necked, vanity, conceit, purse pride, haughty, arrogant, swollen, self-sufficient. The definition of humility includes teachableness, modesty, unpretentious, climb down from one's high horse. While we're at it, here are definitions of the word fustian: a swelling style, grandioseness, elaborate, gild, high flown. Also, Adram in the Bible readings is located in present central Syria, where the city of Aleppo now stands. Okay, so I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version Bible and from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. The Bible, 2 Kings. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his Lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a message to him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel. Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more, when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" And so he went down and immersed himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar's humiliation. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace in Babylon. And the king said, "Is this not magnificent Babylon, which I have built as a royal capital by my mighty power and for my glorious majesty?" While the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven. "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared, the kingdom has departed from you." Nebuchadnezzar praises God. "When that period was over, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. I blessed the Most High and praised and honored the one who lives forever, for his sovereignty is an everlasting sovereignty, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. There is no one who can stay his hand or say to him, 'What are you doing?' At that time, my reason returned to me, and my majesty and splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, for all his works are truth, and his ways are justice, and he is able to bring low those who walk in pride." John, the authority of the Son. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing of his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judged, and my judgment is just, because I seek to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And from Science and Health, "We cannot choose for ourselves, but must work out our salvation in the way Jesus taught. In meekness and might, he was found preaching the gospel to the poor. Pride and fear are unfit to bear the standard of truth, and God will never place it in such hands. If the soft palm, upturned to a lordly salary and architectural skill, making dome and spire tremulous with beauty, turn the poor and the stranger from the gate, they at the same time shut the door on progress. In vain do the manger and the cross tell their story to pride and fustian. Meekness and charity have divine authority. Christian scientists must live under the constant pressure of the apostolic command to come out from the material world and be separate. They must renounce aggression, oppression, and the pride of power. Christianity, with the crown of love upon her brow, must be their queen of life.
For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. For God is infinite, all power.